Amen. You may be seated this morning. Isn't God good? Amen. I said, isn't God good? The alcohol, the screen, everything. I love my man of God. No offense to my pastor, but I'm trying to outrun it as fast as he's trying to outrun it. And my family's had it. I love you too. I love him. I hugged him earlier. I hug him again, but amen. If it was roles reversed, he'd have dunked that whole microphone in a bucket of alcohol before he got up here 13 different times probably. So that's okay. But God is so good, and we want God to move in the lives of those that are under the weather, including our good pastor. Amen. How many love and appreciate Pastor and Sister Johnson, the work they're doing for us here at Landmark? Amen. In their ministry thus far, well, I believe we are blessed beyond measure. Amen, amen. And I don't say that because he's allowed me in this pulpit. I would have preferred for him to allow me to sit on the pew today, actually. But I am honored that he did have the confidence in me to call me last night. And when that phone rings late on a Saturday night, and you're a lay minister, I can guarantee you the first thought that goes through your head is like, better have something ready. But that's where that teamwork comes in, Pastor. And I'm just glad I'm on your team. Glad I'm on your team. Amen. We sang a song today, and it was talking about evermore. And I got to thinking when they were singing that, you know, evermore is a very, very, very long time. And I don't know which way this is going to go, Pastor. It's going to be some teaching, some preaching. We're just among home folks here, and the ones that are still halfway healthy are here. So I just want to talk a while this morning. Is that okay? We'll see which way it goes. But evermore is just a synonym for forever. And we'll be serious for a while, and we may cut up for a while, but the bottom line is, we are going to spend eternity somewhere. Evermore. We will either evermore be praising the name of Jesus and worshiping Him face to face in heaven. That's our goal. That's our focus. That's what I want our focus to be, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. Or the very negative alternative is that we're going to spend eternity in hell. And I know it's not fun to talk about hell. Not fun to think about hell. But if we don't consider it, and that's what the enemy, I think, it's one of his tricks, it's one of his tools in his toolbox, is to get us thinking about everything except worst case scenario. And if you want to be successful in life, you want to be successful in business, you better have a plan for worst case scenario. You better have a plan for never getting to the worst case. You better have a plan to avoid that worst case scenario. And that's what I want to talk or preach or teach about a little bit this morning. Because it doesn't matter how good we sing. It doesn't matter how successful we are in life. It doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank. It doesn't matter who we know, who we don't know. At the end of our journey, and we're all on a journey, whether you're 55 years old, like this old feller, or whether you're a teenager, or whether you're a young single, whether you're older, like the Jones family, we're all on a journey. That journey is going to end at a particular destination one day. I don't know about you. I want it to be the right destination. How many want it to be the correct, proper, right destination, which is heaven? How many are going to do everything they can to ensure that that happens? Amen, amen. It is, in other words, you've heard, well, it's not a heaven or hell issue. I don't know why you're bothering to worry about it. It's not a heaven or hell issue. And I will agree, there are some things that are not, by by themselves a heaven or hell issue. I will also agree that there are some things that are. I believe Jesus' name baptism is a heaven or hell issue. I believe repentance is a heaven or hell issue. I believe receiving the Holy Ghost is a heaven or hell issue. And if we don't have that plan of salvation, we are not going to reach the proper destination. I believe there are things that in their own right, Pastor, may not be a heaven or hell issue, but that several of those things added up, several of those things, if aligned in a particular fashion, could perhaps still derail one of us from our ultimate destination. We could end up in the wrong place. And we don't want that. So, I know you're saying, oh Lord, where is it going? This sounded real heavy already this morning. This sounds philosophical. But I just want us to, in our busy world, what I don't want, let's start with what I don't want. What I don't want is for the enemy to win by getting each of us individually so busy and so caught up in whatever life brings our way that we take our eyes off the prize. Because when we take our eyes off the prize, sooner or later, the enemy's going to win. So I want to speak a little bit today about keeping our eyes on the prize. How many are going to help me today? Somebody give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. God, we love you today. Keeping our eyes on the prize. Pastor asked for folks to move up front. I'm going to ask it a second time, not because y'all didn't obey him necessarily, but because I need to use some of you later in this message. I'm not going to use you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're not going to say anything. I just need some bodies on the front row on both sides. So if some more ladies or a couple want to come up front, that's fine. I'm pretty good up here, but if maybe somebody else wants to help these guys, y'all are going to just be a block. You're going to be a wall. I'm not going to embarrass you, so don't worry. Yes, Brother Loki, you're going to make a good block, a good wall. Amen. You guys will probably do. All right. I know when you say I'm going to use you, you all panic, cold sweat breaks out and all that. I'm not going to embarrass anybody because I don't like to be embarrassed. All right. So, first of all, I would like to, again, say thank you to Pastor for allowing me to teach this class. I don't know how long I'm going to be. I don't really know. If I'm going to go fast, slow, I don't know how it's going to end in praise or an altar, but I just want God to have His way. The source of this message, really, and for those of you that ever get up and teach or preach, you'll know that what I'm about to say probably isn't quite as off the wall as it's going to sound to maybe some people. But I was looking through a running magazine, a Runner's World, a while back, and they have advertisements for upcoming races, whether it's a 5K, 10K, a half marathon, a full marathon. And there was this advertisement for the Disneyland half marathon and marathon weekend coming up in August. Not that I'm planning on running a marathon because I'm nowhere near the physical condition I need to be, but maybe one day. But the thing that caught my eye, Pastor Johnson, was the caption at the top of it and then the picture behind it. It said, keep your eyes on the prize and you won't become one. And so you see the picture, and I apologize, but there's a man and a woman running. They've got their numbers on their chest or their stomachs for the timekeeping purposes, the timing chip. But they're running the race, and on the edge you see three jackals, or hyenas, baring their teeth. And of course it's Disneyland, Disney World, whatever, so they don't make them look too vicious. But this just kind of piqued my thought pattern, Pastor, that as we are running this race, There are jackals, and there are hyenas, and there are the creatures from hell. There are those grizzly bears that you talked about a moment ago trying to swipe you and consume you and devour you. But it said, keep your eyes on the prize and you won't become one. In other words, you won't become another trophy on the devil's wall. You won't become another prize in his collection, if you please. So I liked the ring of that, and I made a copy of the page out of that book, and I thought, I'll just tuck that away for a rainy day. And then either the same Sunday or the very next Sunday, I thought, well, you know, maybe that was just me. Maybe I was just thinking, maybe that's just not going to ever happen, into a message. And then I picked up the paper, and there was a picture of Kelly Pickler. Of course, you're in Music City, country music mecca here, so there's a lot of articles about country music people. But the title was Pickler Keeps Her Eyes on the Prize. And in this case, her prize is a number one song. But I thought, okay, hit me in the head once, hit me in the head twice. I said, maybe we'll just use that. So that was the source of this message, keep your eyes on the prize. Let's turn in the book today, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. You can remain seated. I want to lay a foundation in the Word of God for this now. 1 Corinthians 9 and 20, starting at 24, says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. It goes on to say, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Kelly Pickler might have been doing it to receive a number one record album or number one project. But it says that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, or I run in such a manner, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So this scripture is talking about, in verse 24, running a race. It's talking about many run or all run, but one receiveth the prize. It mentions a prize. And for the focus or for the context of this message today, I want our prize to be making heaven our home. And for a visual depiction of that, for me in this message and maybe for an example later, I'm going to use that exit sign on the back wall above that door as a focus, as for the prize that I'm aiming towards. And I was going to have something made up and put back there, but I saw the exit sign and I said, you know, we got to exit this world to make heaven our home anyway. So I'm just going to use that exit sign. And that's my goal. At some point, I've got to get to that exit sign so that I can exit this world and make heaven my home. So we have to understand that in this race, we have to be focused. In this picture that I showed you, those two runners, they weren't distracted by those jackals. That didn't make the jackals go away. But when you run, especially when you run a long distance, your focus needs to be well ahead of you, well in front of you. It does not have to be down. It does not have to be to the left or to the right. It has to be straight forward in the distance. That's where your focus needs to be. Otherwise, your running style is not going to be correct, and you're going to get an injury or a pain that you cannot overcome, and you're going to have to drop out of the race. I don't want, after so many years, Pastor, to get the pain so severe. I don't want my form. I don't want my skill set. I don't want to be running this race in a way that it causes injury to me and I have to drop out of the race. If I ever do train and get to where I could do a half marathon or a marathon, the thing in the back of my mind is the worst thing that could happen is to get about 25 miles down that 26.2-mile course and for some reason have to drop out of the race. I'm thinking I would have been better not to ever get in the race than to go through all the trouble, all the effort, all the expenses, all the travel, all the hours, all the pain, all the agony, and drop out 1 mile from the finish line. Amen. So I want to make sure that not only for myself, but for Landmark, I hope today we can concentrate on this message and see what we can do to help all of us keep our eyes on the prize. All right, another verse of Scripture is Philippians 3, starting at verse 13. And it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. So that's why I wanted a mark on that back wall, Pastor. That exit sign is my mark. That's my target. That's my focus. That's my mark for the prize. My prize is going to be making heaven my home. But I've got to have it. I've got to have something to aim at. I've got to have a mark. I've got to have a target. I've got to have a focal point for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this verse mentions several aspects that we need to touch on briefly. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. We could bring in the other scripture talking about the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. For the sake of time, I won't look it up, but these same people that were in that picture that are running that marathon, not only do they train for months ahead of time, not only are they in peak physical condition, not only is their body fat percentage usually somewhere around 5% or less, but their clothing, the very clothing, their shoes, their socks, they pay a premium price for clothing that weighs less than the competition. Because they know that in the course of a 26-mile race, if your shoes weigh an extra 2 ounces, and you figure out how many times you pick 2 ounces, 2 ounces, 2 ounces, 2 ounces, 2 ounces, 2 ounces, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60,000 times. I don't know. I didn't do the math this morning. It would depend on your stride. But suffice it to say, in 26 miles, you're going to be picking them up and putting them down a whole lot of times. And that can be the difference, not only in winning, but even finishing the race. We worked a 5K. We didn't run it. We didn't walk it. I walked it last year. I had just gotten over a similar virus exact same time last year, right before the Go Johnny Go 5K here in town. Johnny was the owner of Sports Village. He succumbed to cancer just a few years back. So this race is in his memory. He never gave up. He fought to the very end. He was a fighter. He was a scrapper. And so that money goes both to help support the Sports Village that his wife still operates and also to fight cancer. So it's a good cause. Anyway, we were there for the public safety, directing traffic, making sure the runners didn't get run over and all that kind of stuff. But there were people, the first guy ran it, he came across the finish line in 17 minutes and something. Very, very good run. And there were people that walked it. And Brother Fennell and I, our part of our task was to get in behind the very last group so they would know when the race was over, when they could allow traffic patterns to resume normally. And so those very last walkers walked across in roughly an hour and 2 minutes. And I got to thinking, you know, Pastor, they all achieved that 5K race. They all finished their course. Some did it a little faster than others, but trust me, that very last person was just as excited as that very first person. And you know, if I have to fall through the pearly gates, exhausted, bruised, battered, banged up, with some scars, so long as I make it through. So long as you can make it through. Some people may make it through with a whole lot less bruises than I'm going to. I don't know. But the goal is to make it through. So the weight of those shoes, the weight of their clothing needs to be of the right fabric so that it repels the moisture for two reasons. If you've ever exercised or ran or walked a long time with a wet pair of blue jeans on, your thighs and whatever knew that that was the wrong thing to do. Because if you want to get chafed or chaffed or whatever in parts of your body that you probably don't want to, just go ahead and wear some wet clothes for a while. So, that material has to repel the moisture. Because if you start getting chafed, chaffed, you still got 24 more miles to go, you're going to have a real rough day. You're not going to make it because you're actually going to start bleeding and you will drop out of that race. The second reason you want to repel that moisture again, weight. Much better for that, for you to perspire, to sweat that moisture out of your body, let that material, just like a wick, a candle wick, that brings up that oil, to bring that moisture away from your body so that your body weight is actually reducing as you run the race. You may be 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 5 pounds lighter by the end of the race. So, forgetting those things which are behind, if we don't forget, and if we don't forgive, then those things that we refuse to forgive and forget become weights. And the longer we live for God, the more opportunity for the devil to put another weight. And for the sake of time today, I could have, say, Brother Patrick or Tony start running around the sanctuary. And as they come by, I could hand him a chair. Say, keep on running. He could do it. And on the next lap, I could hand him a mic stand. Say, keep running. He could do it. And on the next lap, I could hand him this planter box here with this plant in it. And if he really got going and really started drawing this out, I'd say, go ahead and piggyback Pastor Johnson on this next lap. But at some point, the point being, eventually I could load him down where he could no longer run. And what do you think the enemy's doing? Every time he throws something in your face, every time he brings up a memory, because if he brings it up and you haven't forgotten or forgiven, if you have not laid it aside, he just threw another 5 pounds on you. He just threw another 10 pounds on you. So we have to outsmart the enemy so that when he does attempt to put that weight back on us, we say, get behind me, Satan. It's under the blood. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Get behind me, Satan. I'm already past that. Because if we don't, you're going to live for God a year, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. At some point in your journey, you will physically collapse from the weight and the stress. So we need to forget some things. And we need to reach forth towards the mark. I've got my mark on that back wall. That mark represents a prize. That mark represents, amen, a promise. We sang about that promise this morning too. So we want to keep our eyes on the prize. We want to keep our eyes on the promise. And I've got to keep my eyes on my time. Yesterday's Gone is another song we sing. We sing it. We sing about yesterday being gone, but we continually bring yesterday back to our memory. Either we bring it up ourselves or the adversary brings it up. But at some point, you just have to say, devil, yesterday's gone. When he says, you remember this, you remember that. Devil, yesterday's gone. Today's a new day. See, every day is a new day. Every day is a new fight. Every day is a new battle. Some battles we lose. Some battles we win. It's not important that you win every single battle because you're not going to. What's important is that you win the war. All right, so I have mentioned in times past, because here's the thing. I'm not speaking to worldly people this morning. I'm not speaking to sinners this morning. I'm speaking to a group of fine apostolic men and women, and young men and young women. Does that mean we are perfect? No. If we were perfect, we would not need a Savior. If we were perfect, Calvary would have been in vain. But what it does mean is I'm speaking to a group of people that are on this journey. Now, since we have all begun this journey, we are all going to fall into one of two categories. Those that finish and those that fail. No in between. Once you have the revelation of God's Word and His plan of salvation, there is no alternative but to finish the race or to drop out. It's really the only two things. So, if you drop out of this race, we've coined the term backslider. Throwing it out here today, and I've made the comment from this pulpit that every backslider has first let his or her will get bigger than God's will. And I still believe that's a true statement, Pastor. But in studying for this message, an axiom to this fact, or just a little bit further into it, I added, so for every backslider, first must let his or her will get bigger than God's will. That's still a true statement. But then I added, for this to happen, they first had to take their eyes off the prize. Because if your eyes are on the prize is the focus. The goal is the focus. And you're not going to let anything derail you from that goal because you've got your eyes on that prize. Does that mean you're not going to have trials and tribulations? No. We all do. We all will. We all have. But if we're focusing, Pastor, on that promise, and if we're focusing on that prize, then when our will attempts to become bigger than God's will, we have enough Holy Ghost to say, no, I will not, I cannot let that stop me from reaching and obtaining my goal. But it's when we take our eyes off the prize, we start drifting through life It's when my job becomes more important than church. It's when anything becomes more important than God. And we say, oh, that never happens. We're apostolic. We know what's most important. Yes, we do. But how do you spend your time? And I'm preaching to myself. How do I spend my time? Okay? Life itself will force you to take your eyes off the prize. Pastor Johnson was very, very sick. I've got things going on at the house. For some reason, I've got water in my front yard. I don't know where it's coming from. Got a fire hydrant there that hasn't caused any problems in 15 years. Got a water pipe there. It says water on the top of it. That's why I know it's a water pipe. I'm real intelligent. I pull the cover off and look, and it's got water all the way to the top of it. And I said, well, that's different. That's never happened before. And out of every house in Coles Ferry Village, guess whose front yard's wet? Mine. Saturated. Running out into the road. Curtis Drive has water running down it. Why? Because Brother Shrupp's got water in his front yard. All right? We try to do laundry. We put the laundry in the dryer, hit the button, the dryer doesn't heat up anymore. So, you know, this morning, my focus was this message. And so as I was trying to focus on this message, the enemy already starts throwing these distractions. Honey, the dryer's not heating up. Oh, boy. Here we go. If it's not one thing, it's another. So I'm in my pajamas outside, checking the airflow outside the house. Maybe it ain't got airflow. I know it's got airflow. Hit the circuit breaker. Maybe it'll jump start it. Nothing works, so... life itself will derail us if we let it. Illnesses, finances, problems, jobs, lack of jobs, bad jobs, whatever. So our challenge today, church, is to keep our eyes on the prize. Because it's only when we take our eyes off the prize that the enemy can elevate our will above God's will. Let that soak in for just a minute. The enemy tries to strategically maneuver us into one of two groups of people. Number one, he tries to wear us down and beat us down where we can no longer see the prize as obtainable. Or number two, he tries to build us up where we can no longer see the prize as needed. So we have two groups of people. We have the ones that the enemy beats down. We've all been beat down a time or two. Said I wouldn't embarrass anybody, so I'm going to become the beat-down saint. My back was out last week. So got over that. My wife got the stomach virus after that. I'm trying to outrun it. All right. I'll just gather around and start praying for him. Beat-down saint. All right. I may have a little more participation. I'm not going to embarrass y'all. So y'all stand up. Front row, just front row or two. Sister Jones, thank you for wanting to participate there. All right, so close your ranks in. A little tighter. There you go. Form a wall. She's from Alabama. You'll have to help her walk. It's okay. So here I am. Woe is me. They're not used to shoes in Alabama. That's so bad, brother. Brother Loki, you got to live with her, too. I wouldn't take that off you, sister. All right. So the beat-down saint. She's getting beat down by her own husband right now. So nothing's going right for me. Dryer ain't heating up. Got water in the front yard. Don't know if my water bill is going to be $900 or not yet. Don't know where it's coming from. Trying to outrun the stomach virus. Devil's reminding me of all my past failures. That's a pretty long list. And so, here I am, poor pitiful man. And the enemy is like, he's a predator. He's like a carnivore, like a wolf pack. When they smell the blood, they go in for the kill. And so when the enemy comes against us as saints, and when we become wounded in some fashion, then is when the enemy comes in for the kill. He smells victory in his court. And so, why do you think when things start going bad, when one car breaks, you ever notice all three of them break? You ever notice when something breaks at the house, more than one thing breaks? Because you're already down. You're already maybe financially down. You've had to put a bunch of money in the car, and now the dryer breaks, or vice versa. You're sick. You got medical bills. So we've all been there. It just snowballs on you. And you catch yourself saying, what else can go wrong? And then four more things go wrong, and you say, I shouldn't have asked that stupid question. So he beats us down, and a lot of times it's not so much financial and stuff, but it's our past. It's those weights that he kept piling on. So maybe Tony that ran around here in our minds earlier with all those weights, maybe he's the beat-down saint. And he's got all these weights hanging off of him, and the enemy's coming in for the kill. And you guys are representing the enemy, so I want you to look at me and either point your finger at me or give me that look like I told you so. You're not worthy. You're not going to make it. I told you you weren't going to be able to do that good. You do that to him all the time. Okay, come on. Give me some sort of, I told you so, or you're not good enough. How are you going to talk? Come on. You can do better. Thank you, Brother Good. All right, so keep it up. Just keep that up. So I'm beat down, and I get lower and lower and lower. And he's putting his foot on my neck now. You know what I can't see right now? I can't see that mark on the wall. I can't see my exit sign no more. Because all my past faults and failures are pointing their finger in my face, saying it's just a matter of time till you mess up again. It's just a matter of time till you do it even worse next time, boy. And it's, why do I even try? Why should I even try, Sister Johnson? I'm not good enough. Why should we try? When you get to this point, do you understand? This is when it becomes heaven or hell. This is when it matters whether or not you've got a relationship with that man and that woman, when you can't take it anymore. And you're at the end of your rope. And he's got his foot on your neck because he smells victory. What are you going to do? Are you going to quit? Are you going to just drop out of the race? Or are you going to ask for help? Are you going to ask that man and this woman for help? Are you going to ask a brother to help you pray? Are you going to ask a sister to help you pray? Or are you going to let the enemy beat you down until you give up? You may be seated. Thank you. I'm just trying to be real today. I just hope somebody lets Jesus talk to you. Oh, God, last time I tried a stunt like this, I hurt myself so bad I'm still trying to recover from it. At least this isn't a speaker. It's got four legs. It seems pretty sound. I do have vertigo, so if I fall off here, bear with me. Oh, faith. All right. We've all been that person over there. I need some real tall. Lord, I better not do this. My tall guy's not even going to be tall enough. I'm still going to see my prize. Discretion's the better. All right. The other group of people is the people that the devil builds up. The devil was so stupid, he even tried to build up the Lord, the creator of the universe, the guy that has all power in his hands, the guy that created everything, and he tried to build him up. Amen, if he just bow down. But anyway, that's another story. So here's the other group. The devil builds us up. Somebody give me some suggestion who I might be. I'll throw one out. I might be a very successful businessman. My career may be booming. I may have a 6-digit checking account all on the one side of the decimal point. So life's going good. And so now, get my people standing up. I hope my tall guy's tall enough. Stand on up, Brother Lies. You're my hero right now. Yeah, you will be when you get them hands up. Well, I'm doing real good, Pastor. And stand on up. Yeah, I need a whole front row. McKelvey, Tony, you can roll, Brother Slaughter. Come on, you lift your iPad up. You can block with that thing. So I'm doing good. And the enemy starts telling me how good I'm doing. Brother Slaughter, tell me how good I'm doing. I'm doing good. I'm doing very good. Our Lions, am I doing good? I'm sure doing good. Big Mac, how about it? I'm on top of the world. I'm very good. I'm doing great. And so, when life is going well, the enemy pulls a different tool out of the toolbox. Instead of the hammer that he was beating you down with over there, he brings in compliments and praise and tells us how good we're doing and tells us how smart we are and how intelligent we are and how we can do this ourselves. And we begin to miss prayer meetings and we begin to miss Wednesday night services because we're so good and life is going so good and I'm making so much money. And so suddenly, you know, now just raise your hands like, I'm still looking at my prize. Thank you, brother. And so they're doing so good. They're just, yeah, we're doing great. You know, we can do this on our own now. And guess what I cannot see now? I can't see my mark. Even though life is going good, I can't see my mark anymore. I can't see my prize. I can't see my promise. And you don't have to be wealthy for this to happen. All I have to do is stop coming to Monday night prayer. And if I miss a couple Monday night prayers, but life still is basically okay, then the devil says, you're okay. You don't need Monday night prayer. You still got a little bit of food in the cupboard. You still got a little bit of gasoline in the car, gas tanks. You're doing good. And if we're not careful over the course of time, the enemy gives us the mindset that either we don't need God anymore, that would never happen to an apostolic saint of God. Really? But at minimum, it will bring the priority or the importance of God in our lives down amongst the rest of the stuff. Whereas, do I go to prayer or do I not go to prayer? Flip a coin. Who wins this week? The job or Jesus? Who wins this week? And so that puts us in a very precarious place. Why is it precarious? Why is it dangerous? Because we don't have money? No. Because we don't have food? No. Because we took our eye off the prize. And if our eye is not on the prize, the devil is eventually going to pull the right tool out of that toolbox that entices me to allow my will to become bigger than His will. And I will eventually leave church. Thank you, Walt. So it is His strategy, folks, to place us into one of those two categories. Now, because most of us are not wealthy business owners, He probably puts more of us in the beat-down saint category than He does this one. But I want to say that, again, you don't have to be rich and wealthy to be this person. You can be the guy that's just got enough money to get by, got the cars running good enough, satisfied. Life is at a satisfactory level, and you went to school, and you got your job, and you did this, and you did that, not knowing all along that it all belongs to God, and it was according to His will that He let you get to that position. So we cannot become satisfied in where we're at, because if we become satisfied, we will lose sight of the prize. I hope this makes sense to somebody. Maybe I just need to bring it down to this level for my own self. So, the next point I want to make is for me to keep my eyes, or for you to keep your eyes on that mark of the prize. Let's get my folks to stand up one more time. Both sides. If I'm over here, elevated, self-satisfied, self-achieving, self-motivated, I can't see the prize. If I'm over here and allow the enemy to beat me down, wear me down, bring up all my past failures, all that stuff we talked about, I can't see the prize. All right, the prize is still there. But I want you to notice, only when I come back to the altar. Only when I come back to the foot of the cross. Only when I align myself back with the man of God. Then I can see the prize again. If I make my way back to the altar, if I pass one more time back to the altar, and I talk to God, and I let God talk to me, and I kneel down at the foot of the cross, and I align myself with the Word of God and the man of God, then when I get up and I dust myself off, lo and behold, I can see the mark. I can see the mark. And so long as I can see the mark, I've got hope. So long as it's visible, it's obtainable. So long as you can see it, whether you're seeing it in your mind, whether you're seeing it through eyes of faith, so long as you can see it, it is obtainable. It's only when you can no longer see it, for one of these two reasons, that you're doomed to failure. But now notice, the enemy that put me in this position and the enemy that put me in that position is not the entity or the person or whatever that had control over my destiny. It was me that chose to come back by the altar. It's going to be you that makes the choice whether you come back by the altar, align yourself with God's Word. Align yourself with the cross. Align yourself with the man of God. It's you. Your destiny is in your hands. And this is not a one-time deal. If you live for God 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you may have to pass by this place 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 500 times. I don't know. just to keep you in a position that you can see the mark. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So very quickly, a tale of two. You may be seated. You did a great job of forming my opposition. We've heard of the story, A Tale of Two Cities. I want to close with a story, a tale of two different endings. Because you see, we're all on the same journey. We started out by saying the journey is going to have one of two different endings. I just want to bring out a couple examples in the Bible. The first is found in Acts 26 and 28. The greatest preacher probably of all time had been working on this joker. And I'm sure in the midst of pastor's ministry, as long as God tarries, there's going to be many people the pastor saves. There'll be many people that pastor tries to save, and they just choose not to line up with God's Word. But it said, then this guy named Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, Pastor Johnson, you persuadest me to finish the race. Almost, Sister Johnson, you persuaded me to keep on keeping on. Ashamed. When you've got Paul as your Bible study teacher, and you walk away from truth, that's a shame. When you've got Pastor and Sister Johnson, good leadership, you've got men and women of God praying, if we walk out on God, all I can say is it's a shame. So that's one ending. Somewhere in our journey, we give up. Like Agrippa did. But that does not have to be the end of our story. 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul himself speaking says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And that's really what it's all about, Pastor. Finishing my course. Finishing that race. Throwing those weights off to the side. Telling the devil to get behind me. Teaming up with a brother, coming to prayer meeting, saying, help me pray, going through a little struggle. Finishing the course. Keeping the faith. Fighting a good fight. If you think you're going to get to heaven without a fight, you better get a fighting spirit right now. You better get a fighting spirit right now. Or the devil's going to beat you down until you give up. But when he takes a swing at you, and even when he connects good, and even when he busts you in the chops and you got blood running down your cheek, all it better do is make you mad enough to swing back and hit back and hit back and hit back and hit back until he goes on down the road. You've got to fight the good fight. You've got to finish your course, and you've got to keep the faith. In Jesus' name. Now, I don't know whether it means anything. I've got about 5 or 10 minutes. One of the differences between Agrippa and Paul, I noticed, just even in their very name, Pastor. Bring that previous scripture up, son, that had Agrippa in it. What do you find in the very center of his name? I. Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. In other words, the focus was on him. All your Bible studies, all your buying my meals, all you spending time with, I appreciate it. And you know what, Pastor? You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. If I take that attitude, I've made me the object of that statement. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. But I choose not to follow your way. I choose not to obey the Word of God. I choose to do my own thing. I choose a different path. We need to evaluate ourselves every time we pray. We need to learn from the man that stood on the piece of carpet that was right here and now hangs on the pastor's office wall when he said, God, you are the Creator, and I'm just the creature. God, you are the true vine, and I am just a branch. I draw my strength from you, God. You are the potter. I'm just this lump of clay. That's how we put ourselves in the proper perspective with God. That's how we keep from becoming the next Agrippa. Now flip to the next verse with Paul. I can't get an exact middle when the guy's name only has four letters. But as close, and Paul's name isn't up there, I apologize, but Paul wrote this, P-A-U-L, Paul. As close to the middle of that name as possible is the letter U. Paul's focus in his ministry, the greatest preacher probably of all time, his focus was not on himself. His focus was on those around him. He said in Romans 8, beginning at 35, who shall separate us? Notice he wasn't interested in just his own survival. The focus was not himself. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In other words, he was going through some troubles. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Sounds like he, at some time in his life, he was the beat-down saint. I'm just waiting for him to come in and finish me off. Chop my head off, put me through the slaughterhouse, put me through the meat grinder. I'm done. But he said, nay. In all these things, in the midst of all these trials, in the midst of all these tribulations, in the midst of all my mistakes, in the midst of everything I've messed up, in the midst of my financial difficulties, in the midst of my health problems, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That's the attitude we gotta have. Now, when he does bring the focus on himself, it is in a positive way. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us again from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, it's important what you put in the center of your life. If everything is about me, myself, and I, you're going to end up over in that court. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a good career. There's nothing wrong with pursuing further education. But if you allow that to be the focal point of your life and leave Jesus Christ and Him crucified out of the equation, you are doomed to spiritual failure. Keep everything in balance. Keep everything in balance. Keep others in the center of your life. Worry about somebody else for a while. Worry about what they're going through for a while. Pray about their financial burdens for a while and see if maybe God doesn't just turn yours around. All right, I'm going to close with this last scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Again, the Apostle Paul. How do we keep things in balance? How do we keep things in the right perspective? We die every day. We run our life. We run our situation. We run our successes and our failures and our faults and our good times and our bad times. We run it right by the altar every day so that when we look up, we still have our eyes on the prize. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So the question remains, what are our eyes on today? Are they still on the prize, or has the enemy distracted us to be staring and viewing and concentrating on something other than what God has in store for us? Will we be the next Agrippa, or will we be the next Paul? It's our choice. It's our choice. Pastor Johnson, you'll come and close this out and do what you want to do with it. I got it up in the air, but I didn't have a real good landing place. But to keep our eyes on the prize, we got to pass by the altar every day. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as Pastor comes.
Come on, let's do it again. God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. I love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yeah.
I love that song, but there's about four lines that stand out to me. There are several statements in there. They're pointing out something. The first they do is they say, the mountain's high. The battle is rough. The road is long. And the sun is hot. And if you were to leave it there, it is a negative song. It is a negative statement. It is a downer. It is another beatdown, so to speak. And the devil's good at those beatdowns. The Monday morning beatdowns. The Tuesday morning slap arounds. Where you think you have victory on Sunday and you get up on Monday and think, my God, am I even saved? No matter how hard you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter how good you preach, Sunday was tremendous. I mean, last Sunday, just saying, get up, let's go on, let's do it. I felt supercharged. I got up Tuesday morning and wondered, my God, am I even saved? Have I backed it already? It is a constant struggle. I don't care how good of a Christian you are and how perfect in your mind you think you are. If you were to look in that mirror, honey, and see yourself spiritually, we would all come up short. We would all be weighed in the balance and found wanting. That's why I keep coming back on Sunday. I keep coming back on Wednesday. I keep coming to the house of God for prayer because I need God. Because it is a struggle for survival. We daily meet our foe. It goes on to say, the mountain is high. Here's the next part that I like. But it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. I won't turn back. How about that for a statement? I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Here we go. The road is hot. What is it?
The road is hot, but it's not too long.
And he's here, and he's not too strong. But I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Now, keep playing softly. Keep playing softly. I read a story one time, heard a story somewhere years ago about a study they were doing. And they were in a marine biologist lab. They were in a marine, I guess like Marine World put on this marine biology study, a science study. And they had these different fish in these different tanks and these different aquariums. And they came in one day to study a certain fish and it was gone. What happened to the fish? And they come in the next day and there was water on the floor and another fish was gone. And they thought, wow, that's odd. That doesn't make any sense. And so they begin to get worried, and so they put these grates over the top of these fish aquariums. And they come in the next morning, and they put a lock on it so nobody could get in. Everything was locked. There was still water on the floor. And the fish they were looking for, they had marked them. There were some missing. Made no sense. It baffled them. And so they set up cameras. And they watched and they noticed the next morning when they come in there was water on the floor and fish were missing. And out of this one aquarium on the side over here, the camera picked it up. An octopus climbed up out of its big tank and got down and went over in another tank. And went in the tank and got the fish. So that's when they put the gratings down. Then they put a grate over the top of the fish and the octopus. And they watched the next day as they come in and another fish was gone, another water trail, and they thought, this is not possible. This is not possible. That octopus cannot unlock the grate and the cage. And there was just a grating over it to block him. But they seen where he come and he went through the grating and they climbed down the side and he went across. He got up, went through the grating, got in, got the fish, ate the fish, come back out through the grating, went back down, went back up, and it was about a 4-inch square grating, thinking there's no way this big octopus can get through it. So they changed the grating. They made it a little 2 inches square. Just 2-inch square. You couldn't even put your fist through it. They came in the next morning, and much to their surprise, there was a water trail, and the only fish in the tank was gone. And it blew their mind, because they went back and reviewed the tape. That octopus was able to come up to the grating, and it slowly poked its eyeball through the grating, and then the rest of it squeezed its way through, and then it went right back down. It went across, and he went from the same thing. And they got down to this, and I got a scripture, Brother Shelf, you've probably seen me writing, looking as fast as I could write. Romans 12:1, just to tag into what Brother Shelf said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, I'm sorry, I'm in Hebrews 12:1. Church, I knew that in my memory. I think I know the next one too, but I'm going to read for you. Hebrews 12:1. Are you ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, can I just tell you that not only are they here for a beatdown, and the front row is blocking you, so to speak, blocking you from seeing the prize, but you have a cloud of witnesses that are around you that are saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, I've been there, done that. Come on, just keep your eye on it. Just keep your eye on it. Just keep your focus. Don't be distracted. Don't lose your vision. He's saying, don't lose your vision. Don't you understand that that's what we're talking about here? He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Everybody say, lay aside. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Tagging right in with what Brother Shupp said. Here we go. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. I can't see it. Just look unto Jesus. I can't see everything's in the way. Then look up. The Bible says your redemption draweth nigh. Just look up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That octopus, they found out in this study, if he could just get his eye on his prize. That's all he had to do. If he could just get his eye through the opening, if he could see it, he could obtain it. If he could see it, it may take him a while. They said he had to contort his body. He had to squeeze his body. If you've ever seen an octopus got that big eye, it's about yay big. And if he can just squeeze, if he can just see it, he can obtain it. Do you understand that's all faith is? That is all faith is. We make it harder than it really is. We make it impossible. We struggle with it. When the Bible says, all you got to do is just lay it aside. Just lay it aside. God's forgive me of it. Just lay it aside. God's here with me. Just lay it aside. God's here. Just let Him carry it away. Just lay it aside. Every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. He's talking about more than just sin. Well, I haven't sinned. He's talking about those things that bother you, those things that get in your way, those things that are a trap to you, those things, I didn't do it, I didn't mess up. Yeah, but he got you thinking about it. I didn't go. Yeah, but he's got you wondering if you're really saved or not. But I'm still here. Yeah, but your question, I can't get out there and worship. I can't go. I ain't got enough money this month. My bills, my health. We got in a fight before we got here. The wife and I ain't getting along. Me and the kids ain't talking. You know what you done last week? He's over catcalling to you. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that does easily beset you. Look unto Jesus. Look unto the prize. Look beyond where you are now. If you can get your eye on it, you can obtain it. I press towards the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Here we go. Go slow with me. Give me my starting key.
Of the devil's game, he put me in bondage to my sorrowful pain. Times are better, I will go another day. I'm here to bring deliverance to Jesus' name.
joy of the Lord. When entering me, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling. That's on me. I feel the joy of the Lord.
Ready? Sometimes you just have to get mad.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not big on wimps and wieners.
No.
I'm not big on wimpies.
No.
I don't care how big you are, you can have some fight in you. I don't care how old you are, you can have some fight in you. Bible says be angry and sin not. Sometimes you just got to get mad at the devil. Get mad at the situation. Somebody said to me the other day, Pastor, I'd been watching them. We'd had to deal with something. And they said to me, Pastor, it's kicking butt time.
Yeah.
That's what Sister Johnson and I'd been waiting on. Oh, terrible. Oh, yeah,